Everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We are your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, you got a beautiful smile on your face in sunny Florida today. How are you doing, sir?
80 degrees out, got back from the gun range, had a little fun with the team right before the holidays, been grinding, closing a lot of deals. Yes, we work during the holidays because that's when the deals get done, but you need to have a little bit of fun also, right?
I love it. Always having fun. We love what we do. And today we are going to tackle the issue of the term and burn. This is essentially what many of us are doing when we're buying term life insurance. You may have heard buy term and invest the difference. Well, when we're buying term, our money many times is burned by the time our policy expires and we are left with nothing. I like to equate this to renting versus owning. Okay, stay with me now. You may be at a point in your life where renting makes sense. You may be at a point in your life where term insurance makes sense. We're not telling you what to do. We just want to know that there's options out there and we want to discover these with you. Now, renting versus owning, okay? There's a lot of people out there who are more financially savvy who realize that long-term, there are benefits to home ownership as well. So a few issues that we see with the term and burn. Now, number one, the house. Okay, we're talking Vegas. The house almost always wins. You don't believe me? Penn State study, 99% of all term policies never pay out.
How many? How much?
99% of all term policies never pay out. So personally, me, I like buying things that I'm going to get something for. Now, you are getting protection if you buy term because you don't know when the big day is going to come. But if 99% of the policies never pay out, don't you think you might want to take a step back and think about that for a second? Is that the best place for you to be placing your funds? It may be. I'm not saying it's not. Here's the deal. When that policy expires, maybe it's a 10-year policy. Maybe you bought it when you're 30. Maybe between 30 and 40, a life event happened. Maybe you got sick. Maybe you're not going to be insurable when you have to re-up in 10 years. That's an issue because the policy burned out. The thing for me, and I want to be very clear on this, it's important. I want to guarantee that my family is going to have liquidity, especially because I'm a real estate investor when I pass. And what I mean by that is I want to make sure that I have a guaranteed death benefit regardless of what happens to me in my lifetime. That's why this is so powerful. In addition to that, I want to make sure that if I'm putting the money to use, I can utilize a dual asset strategy and pull the money out and continue to buy deals so it's not negatively impacting my investing. So the term and burn, you buy term, you're told by everybody and their brother, buy term and invest the difference. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, that's great. But ultimately, you're putting that money towards something that you're 99%, according to this Penn State study, guaranteed to get nothing out of, that's the good thing, right? We don't want to die when we're younger. But the house always wins. And that's why I want everyone to take a step back and say, is this the best place for your insurance money? Gino, what say you?
I've got a couple other stats here. More than 90% of all term policies are terminated or converted. 45% within the first year. 72% within the first 3 years. Less than one policy in 10 survives the period for which it is written. Let that sink in.
Numbers don't lie.
For me, when I hear buy term and invest the difference, my head just wants to explode because most of us do not have the diligence. Go back and listen to the webinar that we did with my brother. I think it was a great webinar. My brother is a financially intelligent person. He's a terrible saver. If he bought term and was told to invest the difference, he'd invest the difference in a car or in a luxury. He wouldn't invest in the stock market.
And that's like that M series. It's a sweet M series he's got. You know, it goes fast.
He's got the Audi too. And he's got a Tesla right now. And you should enjoy the luxuries.
Yes.
But don't tell me you're going to buy a term and invest the difference. 95% of the people in the United States, when they retire, they need Social Security. They're dependent on some other form of income. Do you think those people bought term and invested the difference? They bought term, it expired, and they didn't invest the difference. They went out and bought flat screen TVs. I love whole life insurance personally because it forced me to save money. It forced my brother to save money. I challenge you, go listen to my brother's webinar. What did he say? I wish I put more money. So when the deals came, Gino, on the Hammond deal, I wish I was there to invest in it, but I didn't have enough in my whole life because I had already utilized it. I wish I had more policy.
But if he didn't have that, he wouldn't be financially free right now. He's financially free on passive income because he had enough saved up in the whole life to reinvest that into deals, utilizing dual asset. Just saying.
So let's look at price versus value. Everyone's always focused on what it costs me today. but what's it going to cost you in the future? I'm guilty myself. I went out and bought term policies when I got married, just as a protection. I didn't understand the financial markets.
Maybe it was right for you at that point in your life too. I'm not saying it wasn't, right? You know, I'm not saying it could have been.
Looking back, I should have bought term and converted it to whole life. I didn't. Yeah. I ended up buying other whole life policies. So I stacked. I bought term, figuring in 20 years, I'm going to cover myself short term. And then when I really have enough capital, I'm going to invest it whole life. But with my wife, I mean, she got married at 24 years old. At 44, it expired a couple of years ago already. So I ended up going out and buying more insurance on her. So this comes all down to your values, personal values, your values-based decision-making. Are you a long-term planner, or are you a person who's just looking for the next shiny object? This is all incumbent upon personal financial engineering, engineering your
wealth future. Creation, Gino. This is what the rich people do.
Yes, and you want to invest in assets, and this is an asset right now. We're putting money into an asset. Once again, we've done so many different recordings. The banks, bank-owned life insurance and corporate-owned life insurance. When Bank of America has over $20 billion of whole cash value life insurance on their books and only maybe $4 or $5 billion in stocks, and they have a lot of real estate, but the majority of their holdings are in bank-owned life insurance. It's a stable asset. It grows. There's a guaranteed growth. We're using it as a cash management tool. It's awesome for us as real estate investors because we put the money in there. Not every single one of my dollars needs to chase a return, needs to be at a complete risk. I like to have it there. So when we find a deal, I can pull that money out, borrow it, place it in the deal, let the deal do the work. And when the deal is done and deal is cash flowing, I pay the policy back. At the end of the time, the policy loan is paid back. I have the cash value and I have the asset itself. This is all long-term financial planning. Term insurance does have its place. You can buy term and you can convert it to whole. But if you're a long-term thinker and a long-term planner, the younger you start, the less expensive the insurance is. And once you start 10, 15, 20 years ago, that premium stays stable for that period on. So whatever your premium is, it doesn't go up. It stays stable. So look at your financial future. See where you're diverting your funds. What I ended up ultimately doing, Jake, was I said to myself, I've got extra money. I'm putting it into a 401k. Why am I doing that? I'm in my 30s. I won't touch that money for another 30 years. I diverted it into a whole life policy, put it into a whole life policy, and I was able to invest in our third deal with that. I had the collateral from the cash value to use as a letter of credit. So these are things that when you look back and you say to yourself, wow, that opportunity cost, I would have been able to blow up my 401k at the time because I didn't have cost segregation. I would have paid a ton in taxes. I would have paid the penalties and I just wasn't there mentally to do that. Fortunately for me, I had met a financial planner that made me divert my funds into a whole life policy earlier, where I was able to pull that money out and put it into the real estate.
Great. Real simple, gang. If you want to learn more about our proven process, we're all about whole life for the real estate investor and the dual asset strategy. Go to dualassetstrategy.com. There you can schedule a call with our team, and we have a tailored approach just for real estate professionals, just for the folks out there in real estate looking to be able to maximize that cash value to place the funds once it's in their policy into their next deal. So dualassetstrategy.com. Gino, you are the man. I really enjoyed this. Thank you for your time today.
Whole life for life, my friend. See you later, Jake.
Boom shakalaka. See you, gang.